Welcome to the Agricultural Economics Podcast. This is your host, Jessica Eyes, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Ken Foster, head of the department. How are you, Ken?
Doing well, Jessica. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Also, it's an unusually warm day for winter.
It is, and I'll bet you that the farmers are starting to think about planting a new crop here in a couple of months.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Oh yeah, I've been going through the garden seed catalogs wondering what can I grow this year.
Well, speaking of this year and the outlook for this year, we have a guest with us, Dr. Chris Hurt, who is going to discuss exactly that, the agricultural outlook for 2017. Welcome, Chris.
Well, great to be here.
Glad to have you.
Yeah. Yeah, always glad to have Chris. Used to have the distinction around here as being the most cited Purdue employee in the press.
Oh, used to?
Yeah, well, you know, we hired this new president who had a history, and I think maybe he's overtaken Chris for the time being.
Well, I think there were some coaches during those winning years, anyway, that did real well in the press, too, around Purdue. In the winning years,
that is. Maybe the winning years are coming back. We can only hope. So, Chris, give us a little flavor for what's going on in agriculture.
Well, there's a bit of a tone to the upside now. There's a little bit of optimism in the agricultural sector, and that optimism, we think, is driven by much like Wall Street right now, and that is by the new administration that will come in. And the new administration has brought with it anticipation for some economic stimulus, and that potential increase in corporate profits has got Wall Street really excited. Now, in the agricultural sector, we look at that linkage of maybe somewhat stronger U.S. economic growth in 2017. Obviously, our primary market for ag goods is the domestic market, although the export market is very critical. And that has our producers toned up a little bit. They look a little bit positive here with the new administration. So I think that's a positive. We also have had three really good crop years in a row in the United States. We've been building inventories of our basic grains, corn, soybeans, and wheat. And we think what this is giving us is really probably the lows in prices, and hopefully we're looking for some better prices as we move through 17 and think about the 17 crop.
So what's that mean for farmers, Chris, in terms of profit margins and opportunities out there in production agriculture?
Well, margins generally on the cropping side have been very tight. One of our problems was during the boom years, we saw cost of production get up to record high levels. And those cost of production, once they get up high, it's hard for them to break down and come down. But we are seeing progress on reducing cost of production for grains. And in fact, as we look over the last couple of years, both the 16 and now our projections for 17 crop, it is what are narrow or even negative margins for some. It's really the cost dropping, and that's cash rents is one of the things that we see dropping. We see fertilizer prices came down sharply in 16. We think for the 17 crop, they'll be down a little bit more. And then family living expense and trimming some machinery cost is the third major category. So we're really encouraging producers to continue to try to drive each of those three lower. We're struggling to get revenues, the price is higher, but overall we think we're making some progress, and as we go into the out years, 17, 18, 19, we're looking for still tight margins, but for that tightness to ease somewhat. In other words, margins to improve a little bit over the next 2 to 3 years. But we are encouraging on the crop side producers to think they're not through the downturn yet, that we probably have 2 more years, both the 17, 18 crops to get through.
So what's that mean, I guess, from a financial point of view, Chris? Are there worries that these tight margins and maybe even losses are going to have an impact longer term financially?
Well, they already have had a fairly major impact. So we're into our third year of downturn. That downturn for particularly cash rent tenants that are paying the cash rent, that have maybe a family they have to draw income from the farm, and have a machinery line they're trying to pay off, all those mean they're probably in negative margins. So what we've seen is lenders continuing to tell us that working capital, or let's just call it cash flow is short. What does that mean? We have more dollars flowing out over the last 2 to 3 years than are coming in, and so that forms deficits. Now, those deficits mostly are being covered for most farm families by working with their lender for that lender to provide additional credit and funding to get them through this time period. We have a lot of lenders that are saying a number of their clients have largely eroded their working capital. Now going forward, they're going to have to borrow increasing amounts of money from their lender to get through this downturn.
How long was this downturn anticipated to last?
Yeah, in this downturn, when we think about financially, we're both talking in terms of working capital eroding, but we're also talking about asset values coming down, particularly land values is the major asset that underlies the net worth of the agricultural sector in the Midwest as well as across the country. So with declining land values, declining values of livestock breeding herds, declining values of grain in storage, all this means the net worth of many farm families is also eroding or going down. So when we think about how long is this going to take, we budget out through the 2019 crop. We use futures markets to try to equate back to local prices, cash prices. And that tells us that we still have the 17 crop, the 18 crop, and by 19, we're anticipating we're going to be back to an equilibrium where working capital cash flow is at least break even, where the outflow and the inflow is about equal. And that has some consistency. That's about a 5 to 6 year pattern. That's about what it took in the 1980s to make the adjustments in agricultural production. And that seems to fit this time. We're looking at about a 5 to 6 year adjustment period. And that starts with the 14 crop, runs through the 18 crop in those 5 years inclusive.
So is anybody benefiting from this downturn? Is there a smile on anybody's face here?
Well, there's certainly most ag input industries are not smiling, so a lot of adjustments in those sectors. We see consolidation in some of the input sectors as one of those consequences. On the output side, large production generally helps the marketing and food processing industries. So I think that's a positive. And then the biggest benefit of all of this downturn is going to consumers. And that's consumers of grocery store food we buy at the grocery store and process at home and prepare at home. Those prices were down throughout 2016. Grocery store prices very unusually going down from what they were in the previous year. So beneficiary has really been consumers of food in terms of lower prices for grocery store prices. Away from home food prices were up in 2016, but at home consumption we buy at grocery stores and other retail outlets was actually down.
I seem to recall a lot of that was driven by the meat sector and meat prices being down. Anything to say about the livestock industry going into 2017?
Well, the livestock sector has had a lot of adjustment. They had peak prices in 2014 and 2015. Those prices had been coming down since as we got lower feed cost and are rebuilding those herds. Cattle in particular, beef cattle remain our largest single enterprise in terms of U.S. agriculture. We saw prices peaking about $1.55 a hundredweight. We'll be down to around $1.10 to $1.12, we think, this year. That makes calf prices for brood cow operations maybe barely covering cost. So a lot of change in that sector. But we also think this is going to be only a 3 year expansion on the brood cow herd. Normally we have 5 to 7 years of expansion, so one of the shortest expansion phases ever in the cattle cycle. The hog sector, we're going to operate at losses again this year. Although we're increasing production, we think we're actually going to have somewhat higher hog prices. We were really limited on packing capacity in the last half of 2016. We're going to have new packing capacity. We think that's actually going to help bring up prices of hogs for the farm producer. And then we're seeing a little positive tone on dairy. Looks like we'll see milk prices $18, $18.50. Cost of production is probably around $16. And again, I think we can look to the improved general outlook for the overall economy in the United States as a reason for stronger overall demand for milk and dairy products.
Great. Chris, thank you so much for joining us to discuss the outlook for 2017. Ken, did you have any last questions?
Any advice for farmers, Chris?
I think the advice at this point, margins are tight. talk to Grandpa. Grandpa remembers tight margins, and perseverance and persistence is what really counts. And not just that we hold on, but we continue to make the adjustments. We really work on what we can do, and that is work on our cost structure. So be persistent, continue to do the things they're doing in the last 2 years, and most farm families will make it through this just fine.
So frugality and maybe focus on some new technologies that improve productivity.
Anything that drives cost per unit, cost per bushel, cost per hundredweight lower, however that is, if we can cut input cost in some way without affecting yields, or if we can get higher yields with the same input cost, we'll drive that cost per bushel or cost per hundredweight lower, and then be persistent.
Great. Thank you so much, Chris, for joining us. Again, this was Dr. Chris Hurt from the Department of Agricultural Economics at Purdue. Signing off, Jessica Eyes and Dr. Ken Foster. If you want to learn more, you can follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook or check us out on the web
at www.agecon.purdue.edu.
Thank you.